Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Pallava Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Pallava Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjano. Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padivrajakacharya Ashutadashatashi Shimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Samstapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthadaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All the glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna.
Sarva Shastra Vdipiusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnanya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Shrimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidwam Uditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Parthaya Prima Varshakshadayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Madeka Bandha Matsangin Madguru Madmahadana Madnistadaka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute Asadhu Sadhu Tadayin Adini Chodjata Kada Anamuncha Kadachin Mam Pimna Ritkanta Yokspura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 9.
Pranasya Shodayin Margam. Pura Kumbhakare Chakaihi Pratikulena Vachittam Yatha Stiram Chanchalam Pranasya Shodayin Margam Pura Kumbhakare Chakai Patikulena Vachittam Yatha Stiram Chanchalam.
Please chant.
Panasya Shodayin Margam Kumbhakare Chakai Patikulena Vachitam Yata Stirama Chanchalam. Pranasya Shodayin Margam Kurakare Chakai Rikulena Vachittam Rama Chanchalam Pranasya Shodayin Margam Pura Kumbhakare Chakai Patikulena Vachittam Yata Stirama Chanchalam.
Ladies.
Pranasya Shodayin Margam Kumbhakare Chakai Kulena Vachittam Yata Stirama Chanchalam. Shodayin Margam Pura Kumbhakare Chakai Pratikulena Vachitam Yata Stirama Chanchalam. Pranasya
of vital air
Shodayet. One should clear Margam, the passage. Pura Kumbhakare Chakai. By inhaling, retaining, and exhaling. Pratikulena. By reversing. Va. Or. Chittam. The mind. Yata. So that. Stiram. Steady. Achanchalam. Free from disturbances. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yogi should clear the passage of vital air by breathing in the following manner. First, he should inhale very deeply, then hold the breath in, and finally exhale, or reversing the process. The yogi can first exhale, then hold the breath outside, and finally inhale. This is done so that the mind may become steady and free from external disturbances. Purport. These breathing exercises are performed to control the mind and fix it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savai manak Krishna padada vindayoho. The devotee Ambarish Maharaja fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna 24 hours a day. The process of Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and to hear the sound attentively so that the mind is fixed upon the transcendental vibration of Krishna's name, which is non-different from Krishna, the personality. The real purpose of controlling the mind by the prescribed method of clearing the passage of the life air is achieved immediately if one fixes his mind directly on the lotus feet of Krishna. The Hatha Yoga system, or breathing system, is especially recommended for those who are very absorbed in the concept of bodily existence. But one who can perform the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna can fix the mind more easily. Well, I'll say a little bit here. Lord Kapiladev is describing the discipline of meditation to his mother Devahuti. She is already a yogi. She knows all these things. She's an accomplished meditator, and she knows all these processes. But he's teaching so that it can be recorded, so that we can learn the also. As Krishna taught in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, meditational yoga. The purpose is the same as what we're doing, to fix your mind on the Supreme. The methods are different, but this method is a standard Vedic method. The Ashtanga Yoga system is described by the ancient sage Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras, and there are many traditions of yoga practice. More in modern times, it's Hatha Yoga system is an adaptation of the Patanjali Ashtanga Yoga. And this is one of the stages of that 8-stage, Ashtanga, 8 parts, 8 levels of development. This is the 4th, called pranayama, controlling your breath. This is after practicing the asanas for purifying the channels of the nerve channels in the body. Different subtle channels, and limbering up your body, and then you're ready When the body is able to sit peacefully, then you can work on your mind, which is the real place of meditation. You don't meditate in your bodily limbs. You meditate with the mind. But the mind has to be brought under control. There is preliminary process. So this is description of the preliminary process of getting to the point that your mind is peaceful and can be directed toward spiritual purposes. This is according to the Patanjali system, the ancient yoga meditational system, which in ancient times everybody knew. Just like most people, not most people, many people know how to drive a car. It's just a common skill for modern life. If you live in a big city, either you're going to be a passenger or a driver because you have to drive a car to get where you're going, to work, to school, to shopping. So most people who can have a car, learn how to drive it. And they become certified drivers, get a driver's license. So in ancient times, in Vedic society, most educated people, not just Brahmins, not just yogis in the forest, most well-educated people knew these methods of yoga discipline. To some extent, they knew. Common knowledge. This is the stage called pranayama, controlling the breathing for the purpose of bringing the mind actually under control. It's a fact. It's a scientific fact. If you can control your breath, that very much helps bring the mind under control. The mind becomes peaceful and can be directed usefully when you reach that stage of succeeding in pranayama or the equivalent. Prabhupada describes the process further. The verse describes the process. Kapila Devi is telling his mother, you should purify the paths of the prana. Prana, of course, we know physically, we breathe it in, it goes into the lungs, the oxygen in the heart. Oxygen is added to the blood, and then that oxygenized blood goes throughout the body. That's the physical process. But there are more subtle processes also going on. The prana is not just physical air. Prana exists on a subtler level. Not subtle like the mind, something in between. Not measurable the way physical air is, but it's there. And the yogis are practicing on that more subtle level of by external breathing exercises, they're getting control of the subtle life air, which is directly connected with the subtle body. Our subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego, is surrounded by the prana, which carries it around, keeps it in one place, or moves it from one place to another. And when you leave this body at death, that prana will carry your subtle body to your next destination. That's the process of death. And yogis are practicing to die in the right way and to have their prana take them to the right destination. So prana control. Not just physical breathing control. Physically, it's not much. Breathe in, hold your breath, breathe out. And then you can do it in reverse. Breathe out, hold your breath, and then breathe in. And you could try to do it for more than a few seconds, half a minute maybe, 15 to 30 seconds. Hold your breath. That's purifying. It's good for your health. Someone who practices pranayama can get to the point he doesn't need a doctor. Sorry. You can get good health just by practicing pranayama. But there's more subtle process involved. The real purpose is to control the mind. Subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego is surrounded by the prana. If the prana is steady, then the mind that's enveloped by it will become steady. Natural. I'm sitting in the car. If the driver is a maniac, then I'm all over the place. But if I have a sane driver and the car is being driven sensibly, then my body is being carried about in such a way. Similarly, the mind being carried by the vehicle of prana, if the prana is being driven sensibly, then your mind comes under control, is acting sensibly. Natural process. Prabhupada describes, or Kapila describes, sorry. You have to try, a yogi should try to purify the paths of the prana. Prana travels not just in the physical organs, the lungs, trachea and lungs, but there are subtle channels that distribute prana all over the body. Channels that we don't see, subtle ones. 108,000 nadis, or subtle channels that carry the prana all over. You should purify those by this pranayama process. Then the prana will travel through your body in the breathing out, the breathing in, and the distribution of prana through the body will be unimpeded and regular if you purify those channels by various exercises. One main exercise in the Hatha Yoga system, some call it Ujjayini pranayama, of slowly with eyes closed. You close your eyes in pranayama. In meditation, you keep your eyes half open and stare at the tip of the nose. In asanas, you keep your eyes open. But in pranayama practice, you should close your eyes. Sit very straight. All the bones and vertebrae should be straight and should be relaxed. And then breathe, not with your mouth, with closed mouth. Breathe steadily, slowly, regulated way. And then hold the breath for a reasonable amount of time. And you use various, what are called bandhas, or muscular locks to keep the air in. And then after 20 seconds or so, you breathe it out again, slowly through the nose. This is the pranayama practice externally. Internally, there are subtle things going on, and it's helping to bring the mind under control. So, Prabhupada explains in the next paragraph of the purport. Prabhupada says, three different activities are recommended for clearing the passage of breath: Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka. Inhaling the breath is called Puraka. Sustaining it within is called Kumbhaka. And finally, exhaling it is called Rechaka. These recommended processes can also be performed in the reverse order, which basically means you're going to hold your breath after you breathe out, not after you breathe in. And Prabhupada says, after exhaling, one can keep the air outside for some time and then inhale. The nerves through which inhalation and exhalation are conducted are technically called Idha and Pingala. The ultimate purpose of clearing the Idha and Pingala passages is to divert the mind from material enjoyment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one's mind is his enemy, and one's mind is also his friend. Its position varies according to the different dealings of the living entity. If we divert our mind to thoughts of material enjoyment, then our mind becomes an enemy. And if we concentrate our mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, then our mind is a friend. By the yoga system of Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka, or by directly fixing the mind on the sound vibration of Krishna, or on the form of Krishna, the same purpose is achieved. Same purpose, just a different method. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.8, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanyagamina. One should practice yoga discipline, and the mind Prabhupada says it here. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. It is said that one must practice the breathing exercise. By virtue of these processes of control, the mind cannot wander to external thoughts. Chetasa nanya gamina. Thus one can fix his mind constantly on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can attain yati, him. So Krishna is describing this process in the Bhagavad Gita. In the original Patanjali system, pranayama is the fourth stage. It's recommended you should become somewhat competent in asanas first, then seriously take up pranayama. And the fifth stage after pranayama is called pratyahara, withdrawal. Withdrawing the senses from material activities. We're living in a whirlpool of material agitation. Our mind and our senses are distracted and disturbed by so many things. We have to withdraw our mind and attention from these unspiritual things and focus the mind within. That is this fifth stage called pratyahara. In that sixth chapter of the Gita, Krishna describes it in two verses. He didn't call it that, but that's the same pratyahara process, withdrawing the senses from their objects. Shanai rupada made. Buddhya dhriti grihitaya, atma samstam manakritva, nakin chidapi chintayet. That's pratyahara process. Gradually, because it takes effort and time, don't expect it to be very easy, but gradually you should cease from material thoughts, because they're just disturbance. They're just distraction from the real business of life and just causes of fear, anger, all sorts of disturbances. So we have to gradually stop worrying about these material things. Shanai, gradually, because you have to learn to trust. If you're worshipping Krishna, to trust Krishna, then he'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about all these things. That's gradually withdrawing the mind from external things. It's not just a mechanical process, like rolling in a fishing rod, you know, picking up a fish, but yeah, turning the knob and the string comes in and you have the fish. No, it's not just a mechanical process, because the mind has its attachments, its obsessions. And you have to deal with an obsessed mind and get it to give up its pursuits. That's not easy. You have to deal with this obsession of the mind, these attachments. So it's more than just a mechanism of pulling it in. You have to convince the mind to give up its attachments. The intelligence has to overrule the dictates of the mind. Jai Shri Gornitai, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Lalita Vishaka, Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. The intelligence has to take over from the mind and decide once and for all that our real business is inside. There's a statement, I don't know, remember the exact words in Katha Upanishad, that Lord Brahma, the creator, decided when he put senses in the bodies to have them point outwards. Our eyes, our ears are facing outwards. They could have been the other way around. He could have put our eyes so they look inside and ears turned inside. But he didn't. He pointed everything on the outside because that's where the living entities want to go for their sensory input. They want everything from the outside. But one who is serious has to go the other direction. He has to return his attention to the inside, where the real pleasure of life is to be found. That's pratyahara. Krishna says, gradually, you have to give up these material attachments by intelligence that is fortified by determination. You have to make up your mind, and you have to stick to it by having a determined attitude. I am going to do this, and you have to be determined about it. Atma samstam manakritva. Put the mind where it belongs, on the self. Turn your attention to the spirit soul and to the supreme spirit soul. That is the process of withdrawing your attention from material things. And then the next verse, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tatas niyamya itad atma vashma. What is it? If the mind is wandering, you're trying to bring it back. So keep on doing it. As many times as the mind wanders away, just bring it back. Like a little animal, you know, a cat or a dog. You tell him, no, don't touch that. That's Krishna's boga. And you chase him away. You throw rocks. You hit him with a stick. And he'll come back again and again just to try to get that food. He'll risk being hit. So you have to just do it again and again. Keep that animal away. So we have to do that into our mind, even though it insists on trying again and again to interest us in all these material agitations. We have to just again and again bring the mind back to our spiritual business. Atmanyeva vashamnayet. This is the process of bringing the mind under the control of the intelligence and the soul. So that's the process. It is taught in one way in the Patanjali system, in the traditional meditational yoga. It is also there in our bhakti yoga system. We're doing the same things by different methods. We're bringing our mind under control by chanting Hare Krishna. That's our pranayama. In and out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hours a day. That's our pranayama. We practice pranayama for hours. Others practice for a few minutes. We practice as long as it takes to chant at least our 16 rounds. And that's how we bring our mind under control. If you pay attention, the mind will come under control. And our withdrawing everything, as Krishna says in the Gita, withdraw our mind from non-Krishna conscious attention matters and think about Krishna and his service and his devotees positively. That's withdrawing the mind from everything material. Without the mechanisms of going through contortions and difficult exercises, we do it on the direct spiritual platform. Not on the physical platform, mental, but directly we go to the soul. And we turn our attention to Krishna. Let ourselves become attracted to him. Especially by the processes of hearing and chanting. Now I'll read Prabhupada's last paragraph in the purport. Practicing the yoga system of exercise and breath control is very difficult for a person in this age. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya recommended, Kirtaniyak Sada Harihi. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Krishna and the Supreme Person Krishna are non-different. Therefore, if one concentrates his mind on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, the same result is achieved. So it's a person's choice what method he wants to follow. We're offering this method, which is very effective and easy. Chant, particularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Make that your meditation. There are preliminary processes, as there are in the other yoga systems. To come to the higher stage of actually concentrating your attention in meditation, in dhyana, in trance, samadhi, one has to become purified and one has to gradually pull your attention away from external things, irrelevant things, things that are hostile to devotional service. and then focus the mind with severe attention on Krishna, it will turn into loving meditation. And you'll develop your relationship with Krishna. But one Prabhupada says specifically here, or Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyak Sada Harihi. How much should you do it? The answer is 24 hours a day. Sada, all the time, you should be chanting Hare Krishna. As much as practical. But whenever there is a moment free, one should be chanting Krishna's names, either audibly or in the mind. We need to do this because the mind has its attachments and its obsessions, and we haven't completely freed ourselves from them yet, maybe. And therefore, we need constant practice. The more we practice hearing Krishna, hearing his names, hearing his glorification in the Bhagavatam, hearing his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, hearing about his devotees, the more we practice that meditation or focusing of the attention, that will gradually relieve us of these material obsessions. Nothing else will. Certainly, obsessing about your obsessions won't. Indulging in anger and frustration and depression won't help you become Krishna conscious. Chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees will. But if someone lets the mind go its way, then he's not practicing the system properly. The mind has to be under control. If you indulge in these negative activities of the mind, of feeling a victim, maybe you have been victimized, but this victim mentality of being a victim is not good for spiritual advancement. This attitude of anger against other Vaishnavas is not good. You cannot withdraw your mind from external attention as long as you're harboring these feelings. So that's part of the process, to just let go. Forgive those who have harmed you and those who have neglected you. And just go on. That's a required part of the process. A yogi has to, first of all, sit down in a quiet place. So we have to do that too. Although we don't sit down all day, we have a lot of work to do. But the attitude is, forget about the struggles of the material world, all the politics, all the battles on all different levels, in the family, in the country, in the marketplace. Get away from that as much as you can. And be peaceful and think about Krishna and serve Krishna. That's our business. That's the yoga process for us. Be involved in this material whirlpool of agitation, of disturbance, only as much as necessary, as much as absolutely required. Okay, so do we have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. I ended too abruptly. I take a minute to think of questions. Yeah, yes.
Now we are practicing this already for quite a good amount of years. So we are reading it again and again and again, as you said, you give a lot of points of how we have to control the mind. But still at the end, it seems to be sometimes rather impossible.
No, it's not impossible.
It seems to be.
We have to. We have to get beyond that seems to phase. Abhyasena tu kunteya vairagyena chagriyate. Yes, Arjuna, Krishna told him. Asamshayam, doubtlessly you're right. The mind is very hard to control. It's like trying to control the wind. You know, the wind in the air. What can you do? You can't stop the wind. But it can be done, Krishna assures Arjuna. Abhyasena, by regular practice, by that regular in the sense of following standard procedures. Do it according to the stipulated procedures. It will work. But if you do it any crazy, whimsical way, no guarantee of any success. But if you follow the actual process established by spiritual experts, and vairagyena, and you have to try to give up these material entanglements as much as you can. If you do those two things, it is possible and it's feasible, and it will be successful. That's what Krishna says. And if it's hard and slow going, okay, take the trouble, much struggle to do it. It's worth the struggle, and take as much time, a whole lifetime if necessary, to accomplish it. It's worth doing that. At least be convinced that it's worth the trouble and the time to become Krishna conscious. Not convinced, then you won't bother. But if you're convinced of the goal and the importance of it, then you'll be willing to take some trouble. If you're a little patient and you listen to and follow the instructions, then it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to take forever. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Anything else? Hare Krishna. All right. Anyway, we have our own yoga process. We don't have to follow any other process. We have the process given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada. Simple process. We should take it very seriously. This Hare Krishna is not just something we're to mumble quickly in the morning and get out of the way. It's the major thing in our life. The time we spend every day chanting Hare Krishna, and we should give it full attention and trust it. It will work. Yes, Prabhu.
When we read or when we hear, then it's like we feel okay and comfortable. But when we are dealing with the situations and dealing with like different people, so that time it's become very difficult to keep the mind.
Yes.
We have to be.
So during the day, when everything is crazy, you have to remember what you read in the morning. You know, what you heard in the morning, what you were thinking about. Try to recollect that. Arjuna, when Krishna had left this world, and Arjuna had to tell Yudhishthira when he went back home about it. Arjuna was so disturbed. And he had a good reason to be disturbed. Krishna had left him. He wasn't on the planet anymore. He was, it's like his life had disappeared. And all his powers disappeared when Krishna left. He was supposed to bring the queens to Mathura, and they were kidnapped by bandits, by coward men. So he felt totally depressed. But then it says that he remembered the instructions Krishna had spoken to him on the battlefield. Arjuna thought about what Krishna told him in the Bhagavad Gita, and that pacified his mind, even in that situation. So during the day, when people are giving you a hard time and no one's cooperating, you have to remember what you heard from the Bhagavatam and the Gita that day. Take a few notes like you're doing, carry them around with you, and open it up. Don't just fill it up, a notebook full of notes and never look at them. Carry them around with you during the day, and when you need that support, look at it. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you said that we should just forget everything, any negative things.
Well, it's not that easy. Yeah. It's our goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and get along with devotional service. But somebody might say that if you are not on the level where you don't get affected, if you are on the level where you are getting affected by the negative things, then you cannot forget it. If you are on the level to forget it, then you would have not been affected. So you have to deal with those things. You have to get to the reason, false ego and all these things. You have to find out why it is affecting. So is it possible to actually forget, or some other way?
Well, yes. You don't have to, like, okay, I have to deal with my false ego. Does that mean I should go to a psychiatrist and pay him $60? How much do they charge nowadays? I don't know. It used to be $60 an hour. Anyway, should I pay a lot of money to a psychiatrist to find out what's going on in my false ego? Or how about I just chant Hare Krishna and try to serve the devotees? That's the process. Okay, I've got agitation in the mind, serious agitation. But the effective way to deal with it is to go on with devotional service and trust it. And try not to consider devotees your enemies. At least do that. And then work out your disagreements in some peaceful fashion. You know, you shouldn't bring devotees to court or hit them. You should work out things by negotiation. The conflicts are there, but try to not consider devotees your enemies. Yudhishthir, it was called Ajatashatru, the man whose enemy was never born. But he had so many enemies. He had more enemies than anybody. But he was Ajatashatru because he didn't consider any of them his enemies. He was fighting like anything, but he didn't consider even Duryodhana his enemy. So if you have to fight, okay, but don't consider devotees your enemies. Work it out and come to an agreement and go on with your service. And when dealing with envious people on the outside, just deal with them as much as you have to. Don't, you know, just leave them alone. If they really want to be nonsense, leave them alone then. Okay, and yeah. Yes, we have. I'm not saying quickly and artificially give up everything. Gradually, as much as you can. Don't be more entangled than you have to be. There's some level of entanglement you're not ready to give up, or the circumstances don't allow you to. But the things that you can give up, give them up. I don't require to eat chocolate ice cream. I can give it up. I can live without it. There are many things you can live without. Just give them up. And the things you can't live without, Krishna will help you with them gradually. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So you mentioned about devotees, we shouldn't think of them as our enemies.
Yes.
And the Prabhupada once said that devotee is not a title, or Vaishnava is not a title.
Yes.
It's a qualification.
Yes.
So one has to qualify to be it. It's a very high qualification to be actually a devotee.
Yes.
So do you consider anyone who's trying... third class, second class, first class, or even lower, do you consider them devotees?
I'll give you Rupa Goswami's answer. Krishneti yasigiritam manasadriyeta. If someone has had the name of Krishna on his tongue, even if it's not there now, but it used to be there, then you have to show him respect. Manasa, with your mind. If he's bad association, or if you can't stand him, you can stay out of his way, but respect him in your heart. That is the minimum. Any person who has ever chanted Hare Krishna has to be respected as a Vaishnava. Any person who has made a sincere attempt to be part of Prabhupada's movement and give his life, even if he failed at it, has to be respected for that. Even if he committed so much nonsense and hurt other people, still he tried to give his life to Prabhupada, and for that he must be respected, at least in the mind. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Very nice.
Okay. Anything else? Yes.
In any way, don't give it up. Just go on fighting with them. But that will also disturb our mind.
I was actually going the other way, that you should only deal with them as much as you have to. I'm not saying indulge in fighting with non-devotees. I'm saying stay out of their way as much as you can.
You have business with them, do the business and get it over with. Don't get entangled with non-devotees. Especially entangled in fights. It's just going to be trouble. If you have to fight, fight. But don't go get into unnecessary fights. Like some drunkard, you know, gets drunk and just wants to get into a fight with anybody. Don't become like that. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So, yes, Guru.
I would like to know about mind. The complexion of mind. So, Srila Prabhupada said mind accept and reject, correct?
Yes.
And I would like, because many yogis said about the condition of mind, is you have a mind is conscient, unconscient, and subconscient. This is
conscious
true.
And subconscious? I'm sorry,
conscious is the mind. You have three parts in the mind. Yeah. Conscience, subconscious, and unconscious.
Okay. Conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. Okay. Yes.
And I would like to know if Srila Prabhupada accept this point.
Well, I know about subconscious mind. There are Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, you know, repeating in his words these instructions, talks about, quoting from the Padma Purana, how the process of devotional service destroys your karmic reactions, including the things you're already doing, things that are already happening to you, and others that are just sitting in the heart, you know, fermenting desires in the heart. That's subconscious. Subconscious mind is full of desires you're not aware of. Like a child in infancy, hopefully he's not feeling sex agitation, but when he comes to puberty, he will. That desire is deep in the heart, unconscious. But I don't know what the unconscious mind is supposed to be. The mind is a vehicle of consciousness. Well, maybe you can explain to me what the unconscious mind is. The yogis talk about that? I'm not familiar with it. Because the mind's never completely unconscious. Even in deep sleep, there's some awareness. There's nothing to be aware of in deep sleep. In Sushupti, according to the yoga system, according to the descriptions of the Upanishads, in Sushupti, the mind and the ego and the false ego and intelligence are completely asleep, in deep sleep. Every night we experience this for some time. But when you wake up from it, you can say to yourself, I slept very peacefully, I don't remember anything. That means you were conscious. The witness, the soul, was conscious, even when all his faculties, including the intelligence of mind and false ego, were asleep. So that consciousness is always there in the spirit soul. It never goes away or stops. The mind can go to sleep. Okay, in deep sleep, you can say the mind is unconscious because it's turned off. It's like you turn off your mobile phone. It's off. And then you won't hear the ring. If somebody tries to call you, there'll be no ring. Like that. The mind is turned off in deep sleep. Maybe that's what you mean by unconscious mind. Yeah, okay. Well, we experience that every night when we're in deep sleep. Yeah. Some devotees go into it immediately when they hear the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Yeah. They go into deep sleep. Yeah. Okay. I will stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.